The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Oh, he's out. He's out. Davidson Figueiredo is the new flyweight champion of the world.
That right
what
there
a victory.
Was a dominant performance from the beginning to the end of that round. Davidson Figueiredo, the new flyweight champion of the world.
What is it about? Misha Gold is in survival mode right now.
Unloading. An elbow from hell.
Platinum Mike Perry.
Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Good afternoon or morning, whenever you're listening to this. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I have a good show today. We have Davidson Figueiredo, the flyweight champion, main event against Alex Perez this Saturday. We haven't ever talked to him, have we?
No, I don't believe his English is the best. He's going to have a translator with him, correct?
Yes, he will have a translator.
But I'll tell you, he's some fighter. He's some fighter.
I mean, 19-1. He's incredible. And we have Mike Perry coming back to the show. We haven't talked to Mike in a while, so
we're
supposed to have Rob Schneider, but he had something to do today, so.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm happy to talk to Mike Perry. You never know what you get with Mike Perry. Sometimes he's all happy. Other times he's a little off the ball. But that's okay. Yeah,
That's Mike.
We like him.
Yeah, you know very much.
Hey, did you see, want to finish it for me? Did you see
how well you did on the picks and how poorly I did? I did notice that.
Jamie, I was going to say, did you see the third episode of The Mandalorian?
No. Did you see the first episode of season four of The Crown?
What?
Did you see season four, episode one of The Crown?
What's The Crown?
It's the show about the royal family. I'm not even a fan of the queen, but I like the show.
Listen, you threw me. You totally did.
Oh, sorry. I thought that's what you were going to say.
A total buzzkill.
Oh, sorry.
Are you wearing a Chip Chipperson and an Easter Bunny outfit?
This? Oh, I wasn't even going to. It's a Chipmas story.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's for sale. Oh shit! Site.
for the people not watching this on UFC Fight Pass, he wore a Chip Chipperson, and when Ralphie from the Christmas Story, when his aunt gave him that horrendous pink bunny outfit to wear, and he's like, "Oh come on!" And he's like, "She's like, do it." He's like, "Oh come on!" Like that. Remember?
Yeah,
and then he put on the outfit.
Yeah.
And his father said, get that off. He looks like a pink nightmare. I watch that Christmas Story every year.
I don't know if I've ever seen the whole thing.
Oh, then why am I doing 20 quotes from it?
Well, because of the shirt.
Jimmy, that third episode. First of all, we got to talk about RDA, Paul Felder. RDA looked amazing.
Amazing.
We're gonna get into, for the people that heard me start, though, I will talk more about The Mandalorian later. No spoilers.
You can now if you want. I'm in whatever direction you want to go in.
Jimmy, it's so much fun. It's so good. Yeah. It's so good, you know, because he's trying to get this little baby Yoda back to a Jedi.
Right.
And all of a sudden, for the people, I'm a grown man. So, you know, I wasn't really watching the Clone Wars cartoon or the Rebels. But maybe I delved into it a little bit. You know, I watched a little bit of it just for like the lore of it. It's a fun show. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
They have the characters from there in the live action. I know I'm going to lose you.
No, I'm with you.
They have Bo-Katan in there. She's a female Mandalorian.
Right. Yes, I've heard.
We're going to get off it because I don't want to lose any of the audience. But those who do watch it, they know what I'm talking about. And we could talk about that another time. But maybe when Phoenix comes on. But I'm loving this Mandalorian. It's so good.
Yeah.
The action is great. The story is great. The characters are intriguing. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's great because I wasn't sure when season four was going to start, but this is the Princess Di season. And I'm not even, I don't really care that much about Princess Di or the royal family, but I just like The Crown.
Okay. And that's a fake story or is it true?
It's a documentary. It's a series. It's a fake, so it's acted, but it's about the royal. It's all based in historical facts. It's good.
Let's talk about our picks.
Yes, sir.
And then we'll get back to the queen. Never. We're never getting back to that. Listen, first of all, we both scored it right for... Oh, no. I believe I scored them both right, except the... All right, Jimmy, my bad. I got the round wrong with Chaos Williams. How could you pick against a guy with a name Chaos?
I know.
He's made for this shit.
I know.
Chaos, Jimmy.
But Alassane has looked great, too. I know. And I know Chaos has looked incredible. With two guys like that who are both can both put you to sleep immediately, it was, I believe as soon as that right got thrown, I'm like, why didn't I pick Chaos?
I mean, but you know what's so funny? When Abdul was walking to the cage and walking in, they show Chaos just staring at him. That guy will win in a stare down contest. That guy's not looking away. That guy's not blinking. He did not blink. He was just staring at him. Just...
Yeah, but that, you know, it's funny. I used to think that was amazing, but then no one had a better stare than Mirko Krokop. And then if you remember, then, you know, Gabriel Gonzaga puts him to sleep with a head kick. So it never seems to matter. Oh, you really? You were not that fine? I never saw Krokop fight in person. I wish I had.
Say again?
I never saw Krokop fight in person.
I was sitting with Dana cage side when that thing landed, and it was because you know why it was like a month after I got the belt. Wow. So it was back then. Yeah. That was 2007. Wow. That fight with Gonzaga.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, you're quoting some shit from back in the day, which is good. Shows you're a fan.
Krokop Gonzaga was
2007.
No, I can't believe it.
I want you to look it up. 2007.
Wow.
Because it was a month after or less after I fought for the title. So I had the belt and I was in England. And I remember that day, what a good time. We were in and out of England, but I remember getting there and I remember going to, like, you remember little different things. That was, how long ago was that? That's 13.
Well, the rematch was 2015. Mirko won that by decision.
Oh, good for him. He got that back. But let me tell you something, that kick was from hell. And I remember that when Gonzaga landed that thing.
Heavy kick.
There was a lot of upsets going on that time in 2007. You know what I mean?
No, I just know that one.
Wink, wink. What?
I only know of that one. There was no other ones that are of note, I don't think.
You asshole. Jimmy. So Chaos, man, he got that.
13%.
And my bad, I picked second round KO, but he did it in the first. He did it in the first punch.
First punch, dude.
And I'll tell you, man, Abdul Razak looked fucking. He looks just powerful.
Yeah,
looks just like nothing's gonna hurt him. But yeah. I'll tell you, nobody is punch proof. I thought Ashley Yoda had a good fight with Miranda Granger. That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miranda was game, you know, and wiry and looking to inflict damage, but Ashley was relentless, you know, and she needed a big third round and she got it. She needed that third round. I believe she needed that third round. I'm trying to remember correctly.
Well, I mean, I look at the cards now. I mean, this is where it's one was 30-26.
Yeah.
And the other two judges had a 29-27.
I wonder if that same judge is the one that gave it to Paul Felder. I hate to even say that because Paul Felder is such
We love Paul Felder, but 48-47, Paul Felder,
first of all, to do that on 5 days' notice is not normal. Nobody's
He's amazing.
That. So, I mean, I know he didn't get the nod, and he didn't – even when they gave that to him, the one judge gave that to him, he even made a face like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
You know? So – and it could be confusing when you're in there because you're probably like, oh, wait, I got to maybe watch it. Maybe I thought I lost. I didn't. But, you know, he's – I think he was happy. I think he should be proud of his performance, and everybody around him should be proud.
Yeah. Five rounds. I mean – you know, I thought RDA looked exceptionally good, like better than I thought. And my original pick, not that it matters, because I wound up going with Felder in the third, because I thought, like, again, he'll be trying to prevent himself from getting tired. But my original pick was RDA by decision because he had a camp and Felder didn't. But Paul Felder is just so fucking tough. Like, he keeps talking about retiring. I mean, every time you watch him fight, even if he loses a decision, like the Mike Perry fight, it doesn't matter. You still, as a fan, you still want to see him fight. I mean, the guy's never not in a fight, and he's never not fun to watch, and he's never not competitive. So, but 48-47 for Paul. I mean, come on. What the fuck was that guy seeing?
I have no idea. Because you know why? I mean, that was RDA. That wasn't just RDA in shape. That was her. That was him on. Like, he was on. He was landing. He was blending in his takedowns.
Yeah.
Got some nice takedowns. And, you know, keeping him guessing, sharp on the feet, did not tire. He looked great. And for Paul Felder to go five rounds with a former champion who was in form. I mean, listen, he was supposed to fight Islam. Islam's very dangerous. I mean, he was getting ready for a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
And Paul Felder gave him one. But, you know, all respect to RDA, he needed that win. He needed the win. And he got it.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to see him back to form, you know?
Yeah, they talked about – I thought Felder was really impressive getting up, too. I thought his defense was good. Even though RDA did get him down enough times, I still thought his defense was very solid.
Oh, 100%. And again, listen, we're talking about this without a camp. He didn't have a fucking camp, you know? Not to jump all over, I think we talked about Ashley Yoder, who I'm happy – that was a fun fight. I was involved with that. I enjoyed that. But also Sean Strickland, man, he took out Brendan Allen
in the second round
pretty handily. He was on and he seized that opportunity, and Brendan Allen just seemed a little off too. Like, or maybe it was one of those cases. In a case like this, it's like, was it just Brendan being a little off, or Sean was just on the money? But I will tell you this: it did look like he was prepared for Brendan Allen, because Brendan Allen's got very good jiu-jitsu. Where at one point, when Sean like either caught his leg or put him down easily, he just followed him down, and you saw backstage for them warming up. I don't know if you caught this. You saw Sean Strickland working from inside a guard, doing some striking, pulling out of things. And I saw that, and I'm like, oh, that's telling. That could be interesting.
And it's almost like sometimes when a guy comes back with zero preparation or zero camp, I don't know why. A lot of times those guys are tougher fights. Maybe because you feel like you have nothing to lose when you're coming back. You know, see, 2 weeks with no camp, maybe you feel like, and you just fight looser. I don't know. I mean, I can't get into a fighter's mind. But, Brendan Allen, I think, was on most people's scorecard supposed to win that fight.
Well, I mean, there's a buzz about him. I mean, look, he beat Trailblazer, Kevin Holland. But I believe Kevin Holland took that on short notice. I might be wrong with that, but I'm pretty sure he did. Listen, we should touch base. I mean, because we had Kay Hansen on, and I thought she did great. I mean, it was a great fight. Corey McKenna, you know, with those little alpha males. But, you know, it's nice to see Uriah in a corner. And who's it? Danny Castillo and all those and that gang. But, you know, she's Corey McKenna. That was a very close fight. I enjoyed it. Both of them were like 21 years old. So we'll see both of them back again. Obviously, that, I mean, I want to see how these girls progress, because I'll tell you right now, Kay Hansen, her striking looked up from her first fight, which was awesome too. But she looked good standing up. You know what I mean? I don't think that's a fight that either one of them. Well, I mean, even though Kay lost the decision, I don't think it's going to really be that bad for her, because it was a close fight.
Yeah,
I'm not going to set her back that much, because I believe that she's going to get right back in there. She looked physically okay afterwards. A very competitive fight for two young fighters.
Right.
And I enjoyed it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's no disgrace in losing a decision. I mean, you know, as long as you, again, you know, 29-28, 29-28, 20, you know, I could have just said 29-28, all three cards, but you know, it's a close fight.
Jimmy, the strawweights should be on a, on high alert for this Kanako Murata, because she took out Rana Marcos. Pretty handily. I mean, she looked like a beast in there. She was powerful, Jimmy. Jimmy, you see my arm? Look at that. That looked pretty powerful, right?
It's extremely powerful. As I
if
said,
I flex
time.
Next to Murata, I'm going to feel like a dumbass. I'm not doing it.
Yes.
I wouldn't flex next to her because she, that girl had arms. She looked, and she's a lifelong wrestler, I believe. And she looked powerful when she got a hold, because Ronda Marcos knows how to grapple. She knows how to grapple.
Yeah.
And it's like she beat her out of her own game by just like taking her down and giving her all sorts of problems, man. I was very, very impressed with her, man. I mean, sometimes I see these people, I'm like, where they come from? It's like, wow, where'd this one come from? But Kanako Murata, strawweights should be worried.
Now, is she ranked? Let me see. What? Is she ranked?
Oh, you got me out of it, Jimmy. I was about to get into something.
Oh, you were going to say? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Am I pronouncing it right? With Kanako Murata? Yes?
Unranked.
I said it right.
I'm looking at the rankings right
now. Okay. I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, Kanako Murata, straw weights might be worried. Kanako Murata, powerful with the wrestling. I got to work on that. That last line wasn't good.
No, it was. I would say none of it was good. Not just the last line. I would submit that none of it was good.
You think it's easy to work on? Oh man, I'm lightheaded.
I hope it's not easy. I hope it is easy. Because if that was hard, yes.
If you see me here, and I literally, you see me on the Zoom, and I just like conk over. Don't think it's a joke. I would call 911.
Never will. I'll just tell the guys. Would you keep be taping. Worried?
Because sometimes I get a little lightheaded when I get all animated.
I would.
I start laughing.
I would have mixed emotion. Like, I love you, so I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to you. And yet I would think of my own fledgling career. And if Matt, Sarah, if I was to get a former champion to pass out and bang his head due to mirth and laughter, I mean, that would be very positive for my credit as a comedian. Do you understand what I mean? Like, it would look good for me.
Did we talk
so
about
I have mixed feelings. Hmm? I have mixed feelings.
Oh, shit.
I want you to be okay.
What about RDA's calling for a fight with McGregor?
Connor, yeah. I mean, he's fighting Poirier in January.
Say it again?
He's fighting Poirier in January. But you know that vacant belt, Habib said, first of all, Habib is going to fight again. All right, I hate to tell everybody this. Habib is going to fight again. I guarantee you he fights again.
Well, that's interesting. But that's not my question.
That's my opinion.
I'm not coming at you.
No. The reason I'm saying that, Matt, is because they're all talking about like it's a vacated belt. So who's going to fight for this vacated belt? And the fact that I just did this with my hands.
How about this? How about if he comes back, maybe he'll come back when somebody takes over that belt and he comes back and fights for it or something. Maybe if you're saying what you're saying is true, that if that tends to be true when the guy's, you know, going to be coming back, I don't think he's coming back right away. I think there's going to be some fights in the meantime.
Maybe, but it's for an interim belt. This is going to be an interim belt fight. They will not, until he officially retires.
I thought he did.
He did, but...
They took his gloves off.
That's true. He did leave him in the cage.
Jimmy,
you're
right. He left him in the cage.
Yeah, that's a good
point. The gloves aren't, they're nowhere to be found. That's a sign. Why is he sitting there biting at those things? He's getting them to cut them off.
He was a little emotional. That's a nice ending. He was emotional. He was a very emotional, you know, he was crying. It was very, very moving to watch.
I get emotional too sometimes.
Yeah, I do too watching. If you watch a fighter's cry, you always get a little, you know. So yeah, it was very sad to watch him react that way.
Yeah.
So I think there'll be an interim fight. I mean, look, Conor Poirier is just a fight as far as I know.
Now we got Michael Chandler in the mix.
Yeah.
I want to see what's up with him. You know, Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
I'm reading right here. Tony Ferguson calls for Michael Chandler fight. Says he's tired of waiting around, Jimmy. He's tired of it. Tony El Kukui doesn't like to be a sideline Susie. You understand, Jimmy?
He does not.
He likes to be in the mix. You understand?
So
him versus Michael Chandler, who do you take? Shoot.
I have to take Ferguson because against Gaethje, he did not look like himself. And again, that's a lot because of Gaethje. But again, I haven't seen Chandler fight in the UFC. It affects different guys differently. It affects
to enter.
He's great. But I mean, he's, you know, I've watched enough of his fights. But to watch him step in for your first UFC fight, and it's against Tony Ferguson. I mean, that's difficult to that's difficult task for anybody. And there's a lot of pressure on Chandler. Although he seems like he would handle pressure very well, but because he's so coming in like Ben Askren did. He is extremely.
That's a great fight. That's a great fight.
I think Ferguson is an extremely difficult guy to prepare for. Like a Tim
Chandler versus RDA.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would rather see Ferguson. But Chandler RDA is a great fight. Then again, RDA just fought five rounds with Felder, so you know, I'd like to get Chandler in there sooner rather than later.
I'm with you with that, Jimmy. I want to see that guy fight. You know, not only because he's my size.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by P3, the official protein snack of the UFC. P3 portable protein packs are a savory and crunchy combination of three dynamic sources of protein from meat, cheese, and nuts. Each P3 pack contains up to 13 grams of protein, and they come in great tasting combinations like turkey, almond, and Colby Jack. P3, three dynamic ways to fuel your day with protein packed meat, cheese, and nuts, because three is better than one. Life can be a battle. Whoever you are, we're all fighting for something. O2 Industries is here to protect fighters like you. That's why they created TR2, the ultimate military-grade respirator. It battles airborne particles so you can fight for honor, not for air. Developed with Tier 1 operators, this respirator is eyewear compatible and fits a wide range of facial profiles. It's even approved by elite fighters like George St. Pierre. TR2 launches on October 20th, available for fighters like you. Check out its bold design and pre-order yours at protectthefighter.com. O2 Industries, proud to fight alongside the UFC. Hey, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing. I'm getting this weight. That's it.
Media all day today, Mikey?
Nah, just you guys.
That's fucking awesome. I like that, Jimmy.
Yeah, I do,
like
too.
When he's fresh. He's just got us, people he likes to talk to, not fucking any knuckleheads. Well, we might be knuckleheads, Mike.
Now, you got – what? How is the weight? Was it 25 pounds, or am I wrong about that?
Shoot, last night I was, after I finally started drinking water with, you know, Chael Sonnen had his little video, and I hadn't drank any water yet. So I was 195, and last night I was 97, but that was drinking some water. So, you know, we're talking 20 now.
About 20. Now, do you have any, are you on schedule, or do you feel like you have a little bit more work to do than you'd like?
I always feel like I have a little bit more work to do than I'd like. You know, it's just a timing thing. You can't be just draining yourself all week. You have to eat and stay strong and replenish and after your workouts and stuff like that in order to do it again. So then it's like you have to time it into the last day or even morning of the weigh-in. So I'm excited to do some sauna. I've been like prepping, you know, you prep your body. I'm ready for some heat. I've been sitting in really hot showers, so that's nice.
It's an art form, that whole thing, man. I never wrestled really in high school or anything. So I remember when I had to start, when I had to cut to 155, I just stopped eating altogether until my buddy grabbed me and Gil Castillo, a Caesar Gracie Black, but he goes, "What the fuck are you doing, man?" He's like, "You look like Gollum." Like I was like all sucked in, and so you actually have to eat and then take the fluid out. I learned on the job. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah, I mean, still learning on the job, always, right? It's just different for the time. It's different for availability of what you have to eat, what you can get your hands on, and what's good, what's not. So, you know. I mean, it's fun. I do enjoy the weight cut. As much as I hate it, I enjoy it because it's challenging.
Yeah.
And how it changes every time. And, you know, flushing your body out with 5 gallons of water.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
You feel clean. You feel clean after you get all the impurities out of you.
Yeah. Yeah, that.
What are those portable ones I've seen? that they that UFC will give guys that you can literally sit in your room with it. Have you seen those?
Yeah, portable sauna. I bought one. I have one in a storage unit. But then they kind of they've been setting it up. Like in my last fight, the way they set it up, we had the room with the mat, and we could hit pads in there, and they had the portable sauna in the corner. Just go run. But it's cold in Vegas now, right?
Hey, Mike, I like, know what I like, man? I was upset when I heard Robbie Lawler got out of this fight. It got hurt or whatever. But I do like that it's Tim Means.
Yeah.
Because you got a good dance partner. This guy comes to fight. That's got to feel good. A guy you don't got to chase around. A guy that's going to come to try to take you out as well.
Yeah, I like it. It's been moving that way. And, I mean, I feel like no matter the competition, it was I was going to make people come after me. I know how to play tag, so you know, we'll see. And then if they wanna wait too long, you know, I can't wait too long. I'll get it popping in there.
If it's gotta feel good. You're back, you know, you got that nice win over Mickey Gall. And it's interesting. People made a big deal about the corner and whatnot. But shit, man, you took care of business. You still feel the same? Are you going in there with I know your wife's Your girlfriend's pregnant now.
Yeah.
Right? Congratulations, man.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you very
much.
That's
big, dude.
Yeah, man. I mean, we're excited about that. So.
Oh, that's great, man.
Are you nervous? I don't have any kids. It would make me very nervous.
Yeah, sure. I'm a little nervous. I mean, at least it's a boy. We're going to, you know, you can ignore the boys a little bit. They'll survive on their own.
Did you always see yourself being a dad, or were you never sure?
No, I wasn't sure, man. I mean, but like, I guess we always have that deep feeling. It goes both ways on the inside. It's like, you know, if I met that person and, you know, cause it was like a decision that I made. I was like, yeah, we're going to do this. So, I mean, we made it together, obviously.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, you have a really, really special relationship with your girl. That's a beautiful thing. And now you're producing, you're making a human. So it just makes you that much closer. So that's a beautiful thing. Are you tight with your parents or no, Mike?
I mean, I branched off, though. So, like, we talk on the phone sometimes, but I'm trying to be the parent out here. I got to take care of business now for everybody around me. And, you know, and that's where the stress comes in. It's like, but I don't let it get to me because today is a good day, you know, every day that we here. So I'm going to make it a good day. And, I'm excited for this week, man. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I was happy to hear it. I don't like people depending on me. I get too nervous about people depending on me. Like, I don't mind helping people and doing things, but as soon as I'm obligated to do it, I fucking panic and I fall apart. So I just, you know, plus no woman wants to fuck me. So that's another reason I didn't have kids.
I'm sure that's not true, man. There's some savages out there that would just, you know.
In that case, you just fight in the open weight class, Jimmy. Fuck it. Hey, listen.
Man, oh my goodness.
And Mike, so how's the training been? You been at any particular gym? I like that the tree is up. I got the tree up at my house as well.
It's up. I'm still putting some little ornaments on here. So we still gotta dress it up. But yeah, man, we're trying to get into the holiday spirit. And I'm sorry, what was that question you asked me, Matt?
Well, I saw the tree, and then I'm like, it's like squirrel for me. I got ADD, and I'm like, oh, a tree. What the fuck did I ask you? Oh, you can't spring things on me like that, Mike. You know my attention span. You know, I'm not exactly Larry King here. Well, what was I going to say? So where did you train for this camp?
Oh yeah, how was the training? Yeah, man, I've been doing some push-ups, and you know, a lot of hand-eye coordination. With the game.
Video games?
A little bit. And been running the city rampant, though. You know, been running. Yeah. My legs and my ass cheeks are on fire. I'm ready to run and burn at all times. So you know, just keeping it burning. And upper body is strong. I've done some heavy bag work. I do some mitts with my buddy. Oh, yeah, team-wise.
Yeah.
It's not going to be just me and my girl and my son. You know, this will be his second fight that he'll be cornering, you know. So, but my boy Alex Nicholson, heavyweight, he was in the UFC, recently in PFL. You know, we mess up and make headlines sometimes. He's one of those guys, one of my buddies, longtime buddy, grew up training with him and his dad. And, you know, they got to see some of that Flint boxing mixed in with a little Central Florida boxing. And, you know, we've been working together for a long time. So he's going to be there. Alex Nicholson, Latori, and my buddy Matthew. So I'm going to have a squad. I'm going to have a squad this time.
That's the squad. Well, listen, I always feel whoever you feel, they're in a foxhole with you. Whoever you feel comfortable in that foxhole when you're going to war, that's it. That's it, man. I don't put too much on. At the end of the day, it's a fucking fight, Jimmy. You understand?
Yeah.
People might worry about Mike Perry. Say, oh, I don't know if he takes it seriously. Oh, he's looking what he's doing with the corner. Look, but look at the results.
But look, Mike, here.
I mean, it's the best way. You're made for a cage, Mike.
Yeah, you know, so like what you were saying about whatever makes you feel comfortable. But now the way I've been preparing myself and mentally and everything physically is like I'm prepared for like to be comfortable under any circumstances. So I don't care whether no one's there, whether screaming fans is there, you know, people. I got strategy to what I'm doing. And I have an idea of how it will play out already with cornermen this time. And like, you know, just what's said and who's going to react to what. And I believe I'm already playing off of that in my head. So, you know, and another thing is that I wanted to say was that I feel like this is the first time in my life I'm getting in here 110%. When you're pushing and someone's pushing you every day and da 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 this and you're listening to these guys all the time, you know, you hurt yourself. So getting in the ring with no injuries is going to feel great.
Every time you fight, it's the guys whoever's calling the fight always talks about how you're evolving more and more. Every time there's like improvements and you know, you hear it in the guys who are calling the fights. What do you think is your biggest area that you've done? Like, wow, there's a huge difference in me here as opposed to, say, a year ago, 2 years ago.
It's really just comes down to relaxing and doing me like, I don't know. I push too much sometimes, or it's just staying calm. And like I just said to Matt, you know, being confident and controlled under any circumstances, no matter how bad it is, like, I hold myself down and do what I know how to do.
So the mental attitude of it, yeah. Going in and uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I feel like I was there live when you fought Cowboy Oliveira, and I felt that was one of those fights where, all right, now look, he's not, I was sitting next to Dana. I was cage side with that. And he was impressed too with how you were fighting. And I go, he's not just a berserker. You know what I'm saying? There's some strategy there.
None of us are, man. Everybody can throw a right hand. I mean, that's the first thing you learn. Little kids are learning how to go like this. You turn it over, son. That's what you do. Everybody can do that. Everybody got two arms, two legs. So I got a head start. I've been doing it a long time. And now that I'm getting old, I'm 29. Now that I feel that oldness, oh, man, I feel so strong, man. I feel so solid. And I'm like, nobody's going to take this space from me right here, right now. Nobody. I know what to do. It's everything coming at me in slow motion because all I'm doing is breathing. God, he wanted me to breathe because he gave me breath and life. And so I'm breathing and I'm not trying to bother or disturb nobody 6 foot. You know, distance, you know, because we got social distance because of COVID still. the world must be full, and I'm just trying to be in my own space. And if anybody want to come in that space or that bubble, you're going to get popped.
Oh, shit.
Well, I mean, Mike, you where are you right now, by the way? Obviously, you're home. Where are you living?
I'm at my girl's house in Miami.
Oh, you're in Florida still. Okay, wow. Yeah, that's got to be a nice... Now, everything is open down there. Are you comfortable kind of going out and about, or...?
I mean, we go out to dinner, wear your masks everywhere and stuff, and, you know... It's weird. Everything it is weird. So, I mean, she, where we were in Texas or whatever, you know, we were talking about being at other places because, man, that's just deep stuff. I don't even want to dive into all that, I guess. So, I'm in Miami, and I'm leaving tomorrow. I go to Vegas tomorrow.
You are?
Yeah.
Are you comfortable flying? I haven't flown. I mean, I used to fly almost every weekend. I haven't flown in the last 8 months. Are you comfortable? Have you kind of got your ritual down to a science, whatever that ritual is to get ready for a flight?
No, it's always just Sunday and Monday, drink water. That's it. And then
just get on the plane and go.
And then we check in Tuesday with the UFC. That's how it always is. So, yeah.
Let me ask you, anything you and your girl streaming, do you guys watch any shows together or no?
Oh, man. We watched Euphoria on HBO. That was pretty good.
What's that?
Is that a series or a movie?
It was on HBO. It was an HBO series.
Oh, shit.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, about it's what? Pretty cool. All right, I'm putting y'all on.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Euphoria.
Euphoria. You know how to spell that?
I do, yeah.
No way.
Yes.
I'll figure it out. What's it about?
O-R-G-A-S-M.
Hey, it's a tough word, man.
Is it fictional or is it a kind of a documentary based on anything?
No, I don't know if it's based on something, but it's a good story about there's people doing drugs in it, and there's bad guys and good guys, and it's pretty dramatic, so. You know,
I like HBO stuff. I mean, they typically have the best series. So that if it's on HBO, I'll give it a shot. Because typically the stuff they have is their original dramas are great. Whereas Netflix, I don't love. But I guess it's nice to have a girl and just kind of sit there. And I don't know about you, but whenever I'm in a relationship and I'm just watching something with a girlfriend, it makes me feel normal. Like this is what normal people do. They sit there, they watch a series together. Like, I like being like that. Being single, I'm too
deviant.
Yeah.
Or a little just deviant
or distracted
a
or
freak. Or,
yeah. Just kind of spinning around with nowhere, you know, being with somebody and just sitting there watching a series. I love because it just feels normal and healthy and makes me feel more normal.
Yeah. We sit here and watch. Actually, now you reminded me, Love Island, Australia.
What? What's that?
Love Island, Australia. We watch it on Hulu.
Man, can I go on the record and say fuck Hulu? I don't like. I'm sorry, guys. Mike Perry, I apologize for the salty language.
That's all right.
Listen to me, Mike Perry. I do not like paying for a streaming service that has fucking commercials. Really? Commercials?
But can't you pay to not have the commercials?
Like, that's the point. I'm already paying. I gotta pay more for no commercials. The Mandalorian's not getting when the Mandalorian. is taking out these fucking space guards and he's trying to hijack the ship. Mike Perry, stay with me for 1 second. It's not getting interrupted with a credit card commercial. Go fuck yourself.
But what if?
Yeah.
What if it was a commercial or something that you didn't know about and you wanted it and you were like, "Oh, thanks that I seen this commercial,
Jimmy." Yo, Mike Perry, you're thinking like the advertiser now. No, it's taking me out of the movie.
Hey, I need to sell something.
But he's technically right because we've gotten it, and I'm the same. I get so impatient. Like if there's a YouTube video and there's a 30-second commercial, I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I used to have to sit through 9 minutes of commercials. Now in 30 seconds, I'm impatient. And I don't want to see it.
I'm spoiled.
Yeah.
I'm fucking spoiled. I don't want that shit. But anyway, back to Fantasy Island. What the fuck happens on that thing?
Love Island.
Australia.
A bunch of banter. It's a bunch of... Australian drama? People, they speak like, you know, broken English. And I don't know. They
I love Australian
people.
They get
into relationships and then people win $50,000.
Yeah, they were supposed to do that on US TV. There was like, they were rebooting. I auditioned for the voiceover. I did a bunch of voiceover stuff and apparently they hated it because I never heard from them again. Man. I don't have a good voice.
The voice but, guy on Australia is pretty good.
Is he? Yeah, this was for the one I think done in the States. But it's a big show. Like they think they did it in, I want to say England originally, but it's a huge show. Love Island.
Yeah.
Love Island.
Me and my girl try to sit there and act like, we could win it, but it doesn't work like that. You don't go in as a couple.
Right.
You go in, you have your other half with you.
You go in, like it's all these single people go in and then they try to find love. Fest. And then whoever the country who's voting believes is the best relationship wins.
Wow.
Over time.
But meanwhile, are they all swapping spit and everything? Are they all with each other?
Yeah. It looked like COVID, you know, COVID central.
Yeah, but it's a little much. I got sick in I went to Brazil a few times with friends in 2003. And let's just say I enjoyed the local culture and I got whatever it is you get from
herpes.
No, it wasn't that. I mean,
sorry, Jimmy.
I actually
filming that as a reality show, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, it was some kind of a cough you get, the crud they call it or something, from everybody kissing the same girls in the brothels, you know. But yeah, you can get that. Yeah, no, I know. I was in there. I was pretty.
Let's get back to Love Island. This is disgusting.
Yeah, Love Island, they're like, you know, younger and cleaner and immature. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what if they get married, the couple that wins Love Island?
Yeah.
And then they go back and they watch the other episodes of their, now their wife, you know, tongue in the other fucking, a Frenchman or somebody, or somebody else in the house. I wouldn't want that, Mike Perry.
Nah, I mean, you can't look at the past, bro. You got to look at where you are. You can't
That's true.
Be worried about somebody else's past. They live what they live. You trying to have fun out here. We all just trying to have fun. Now we're trying to have fun together. Don't be misery loves company either.
That's true. No one likes a hater. You know?
All right, Mike.
Let's let him go. Mike, we had so much fun talking to you, man. Vegas.
Yeah, we always enjoy our time with you. And good luck against Tim Means.
Oh, that's going to be a blast.
Saturday night, man. And we'll talk to you.
I hope they have good music right before it, because the one thing that stands out in that Cowboy Oliveira fight, oh, man, Jimmy, because Cowboy, I don't know what music he came down to, but shit, could Mike Perry, he has more than just a two-step. This guy could dance. I don't know what he did before fighting Mike Perry, but I got two left feet. I get a little drunk, I just do a little fucking.
All right.
Sometimes I'll do the fucking robot and just fucking throw people around.
All right.
But, hey, that's not my thing. Mike Perry, he was in there fucking doing like a rooster and he's fucking, it was so awesome. It was almost as good as the fight. It was up there. Because then you see Cowboy Oliveira dancing and then they go to Mike Perry dancing. It was like a fucking dance off before the fight. Hey, in my opinion, you won both.
All right.
The dance and the fight.
Well, I got some good music this Saturday.
Fuck yeah. Can't wait to watch it, man. Can't wait to watch it.
All right. I appreciate you guys, man. Thanks for the time.
Okay, Mike, take it easy.
Take care, Mike.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Oh, look at him. There. Oh, son. Listen, only a champion could wear sunglasses inside. And not get
no
made
doubt. Up.
That hey, good.
I told him, hey, you don't need to wait. It's a Matt Serra. The champion of UFC champion, going to let him wait? Say, no, we're going to fight. Oh, it's him. It's him.
Say, hey, yeah. No, listen. He's the champion. We'll wait all we want.
You know, you are, man. Only... One-time champion, hey. Always champion, man.
Oh, no doubt. Well, Lizzie, thank you so much. Here.
I guess we should start by saying congratulations on, obviously your first defense. And two incredible wins over Benavidez. What was there after the first win when he hadn't made weight? So he didn't have the belt. Was it scary going back in to fight the same guy again and having to beat such a tough guy twice in a row?
What he felt to not get the weight for the first time, correct?
But then he has to fight the second time. Was he nervous because he had already...
Step by step, man. I'm not professional translator. Go slowly.
All right. How did he feel after winning the first time when he had missed weight and didn't get the belt?
Eu sou um cara bem paciente.
You know, I'm a patience guy. You know what I mean? A patience guy. He saw he not get the weight, and he was frustrated, but he come back to his town, and he knows he's going to be the champion, and he's going to bring the belt for his grandfather, what passed away, and like he knows he's going to be the champion, just a matter of time. And this is what happened.
Did his grandfather pass away recently, or was he a part of Davison's early training?
You know, the first time he fought Benavidez, he promised his grandfather to he gonna bring the belt to Belay to him, gonna give to him because him start the Marajuana fight, you know, the Marajó fight, like the native guys from the island in the heart of Amazon rainforest, like a wrestling. It's different, but you may imagine for the tribes back in the day. Fight like a wrestler, it's amazing. And they promised his grandfather, he's going to bring the belt to him. But he missed the weight, not bring the belt. And his grandfather passed away between the time he lost, he not get the belt because the weight cut, and the time he fought for the second time. And he kept his promise. This motivated him to go for the second time to fight against Benavidez. But one thing he wanted to know this, because he told me before, he's very pleased Benavidez accepts the fight. You know what I mean? Benavidez is a warrior, and we wish all best for Benavidez because his career was great. He told me this many times. I just add this right now because it's very important. Sometimes when the fighter lost, the people started to talk bad things, but you never can forget the achievement of each fighter. Even today, I told, hey, we're going to do the interview. I lead the interview. I say, hey, we're going to do for the Matt Serra and the guys from the UFC and you. I say, oh, this is nice because Matt Serra was the champion. You know what I mean? This is very important. We need to have this, like this. Thank you for all guys, this brave. Like in the start of the sport.
Respect, yes. Respect.
Respect. Yeah, say the right word, the respect.
Yes, the respect. Now, speaking of former champions, he was going to fight Cody Garbrandt, and then Cody couldn't fight. He got injured or?
Bicep, yeah.
Bicep injury. Now he's facing Alex Perez. Now, Davison said that he finds Alex Perez slow. Could you tell me about that? What he thinks about him?
No,
I think he understands that.
Entendeu?
Matt Serra, I'm big fan of you, brother.
You're big fan of you.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. I'm a huge fan of yours. Huge fan. Great fighter. Great fighter.
Why he feel Alex Perez is low, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, he called him, I read here, he called him, he's a little slow. He's maybe not that threatening, I guess, he's thinking. He said Brandon Moreno, he felt would be a better, a tougher fight.
Alex Perez é um cara que
He waited for Alex Pérez. You know, he's know Alex is a good wrestler, have a great team. If I know the his coach, but he's ready. He waited to show the Marajoara fight for the island of the heart of Amazon Island. Have a great fight. It's like a wrestler. You know what I mean? And he's gonna show the world the power of Marajoara fight. You know what I mean? And if he if Alex Pérez gonna put him down, he's not gonna get him down. And he come to exchange punch, he gonna knock out Alex Pérez. He say every area he gonna beat Alex Pérez, but it's gonna be a great fight on Saturday. It's gonna be a war. He expect a war.
Do you know how did the fight come about? Like, what was Moreno talked about at all, or was it automatically said Alex was the first choice? Or do you know how they chose Alex as the opponent?
Well, no.
He don't care why was Alex Pérez or why not was Brandon Moreno. His focus is Alex Pérez. This is the fight he focuses right now. And after that, he think about Brandon Moreno, and he told him before, even about Corey Garvey, because this is going to be a great fight. Because in the end of the day, I can answer for him about that. When Mick told me about Alex Pérez, I say it makes sense. He's American. We're going to fight in Las Vegas. You know what I mean? In the end of the day, UFC is a business. You know what I mean? We need to put who the guys going to sell, deserve. You know what I mean? And he's the champion. He's ready to fight. Or every UFC tell him to do it, to fight.
And Formiga, the only win over Davis is Formiga, and Perez beat him really. I think it's only the second time I've seen that was with a calf kick, dropped him with calf kick. So maybe there's that interesting factor too went into their thinking.
Cara, ele,
you know, for me, he's kick a doll. You know what I mean? How he kick a doll? You know what I mean? He hurts the doll. If Alex Pérez kick his calves, he's gonna be hurt because he's gonna kick a cyborg. You know what I mean? He's feel indestructible. How say?
Indestructible.
He feel indestructible. You know what I mean? What he see? He knows it's gonna be a war, but everything Alex Pérez want to do with him, he's going to count in double. This is his mindset. Anything Alex Pérez want to do to him, he's going to do in double to Alex Pérez, because this fight is going to be a wonderful fight. You know what I mean? He's going to bring back the pride to everybody saw the 125 category, flyweight category, because it's a very important weight class.
It's amazing, too, how they were thinking about taking it like getting rid of the flyweights, and now it's one of the most exciting divisions in the entire company.
You know, now the people want to see the monster in the flyweight division. They want to see the power, his power. You know what I mean? Now he come to the flyweight division to show the world the power, the new guy in the division. And he want to beat everybody. First, he focus on Alex Pérez. And after, it's gonna be Cerrudo, Moreno, whatever can come, he's gonna destroy. This is his mindset, to destroy anyone come for the flyweight division and show the world the power of this category, because he has the power to knock out or submission anyone.
He talked about going up to bantamweight. Was that before, when they talked about ending the flyweights, or is he still plan on doing that eventually?
Before, he struggled to get 125. You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy, but it's funny. The time you see the mindset of champion, the time he not get the weight with the first time he fought Benavidez, he say, no, now I'm going to be very professional. He got the diet, the doctor, everything on the place, you know what I mean? Like, very focused to lose the weight. And now he's comfortable in 125 category because he's very professional, very focused to lose the weight. You know, when he not get the weight, make him stronger. This is a mindset of champion. You know what I mean? But he waited to fight the bat weight. You know what I mean? He will, but need to be a super fight, an interesting fight. Everything, you know, is about money. He paid the right money. He fight today, he see Ganu, he's crazy. Say, Ganu was very nice to him. He's a giant. And he's starving. He talked to Ganu when he start to eat. I say, hey, you know, now I'm so strong, I can fight Ganu. He laugh. You know what I mean? Like a joke. It's a joke, but it's how his mindset. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
He's a really champion mindset.
Yeah.
This is the most important. You know what I mean? He really focus right now to get the weight. But the time Dan White say, hey, let's go try the one category above. He ready to do it. Everything where UFC said to him, he's going to do it. Because in the end of the day, it's a business.
Well, listen, good luck on Saturday. You know, what a great champion. And the first title defense, we're looking forward to this. And I'm sure there will be, you know, a lot more from Davison in the coming months. And thank you for coming on with us. It was really good. We never talked to Davison before. It was nice to have you. Thank you for helping. You know, it was great. It was good talking to him.
Fala para meus fãs que...
He say thank you. I want to say something for his fans, the American fans, the world fans. It's going to be a great fight on Saturday. He's going to give his heart, his soul on this fight on Saturday. You know what I mean? He waited to show the world the power of the flyweight division. You know what I mean? And say thank you for everybody. Thank you for UFC, for everything. Do it for him. Thank you for you guys for having him in the show. I add something, you know what I mean? But this is what his heart, you know what I mean? He want to bring back, you know, Sarah, it's a very important. You know, every category is a very, every weight class is a very, very important weight class. And he's going to show the world Saturday on pay-per-view. It's going to be a war inside the octagon. You know what I mean? Because Alex Perez is a great fighter, but cannot get. This is what he said, God of War. Everybody going to see God of War on Saturday, November 21st, on pay-per-view.
Thank you very much, Davison. Thank you. Excellent. And thank you for as well, Waleed. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, champion.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Jimmy, this was a nice day together.
Yes, it was.
Okay. And I will talk to you very shortly. Okay. And we'll be talking in a couple of days. We talk every couple of days anyway.
We do. We chat a lot and we text during the fights and yeah.
And other things.
Yeah.
Jimmy. All right, buddy. All right, Jimmy, listen to me. I can't wait till I get I don't want to say hold you again because that sounds really
yeah, you'll
odd,
hug.
But I can't wait till I get you a nice big hug.
And let's say too, as we leave, thank you to Mike Perry. Good talking to Mike as always. And thank you to Davison Figueiredo. And what a great show. It was good talking to those
Jimmy,
guys.
Jimmy, always a good time, I'll brother. I will talk to you very shortly, okay, my friend.
Buddy. Be good.
Okay, back to your nest, my little bird. Bye, Jimmy.
See you.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.